Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
I encourage you, when you end up wanting to help somebody in a test, you want to help them to realize that even in this area of guilt, you can replace that with an inward peace, and only God can do that.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, we return to the book of James, where Pastor Herron will share with us how to have a perfect score on the test we face in life.
If you have your Bibles, turn to James 1, if you would. I Googled tests, how to take a test successfully. 88 million sites. But I did find one pretty good site, and it was how to pass a test successfully. And it goes through 8 different ways that you can prepare for a test. It's no fun to fail tests. So if you can have that in mind, it really got me looking at, as our own, helping people over the years, how to have a perfect score. I want to be able to help people have a perfect score to life in the tests. Even as James said it this way, we memorized it and we've worked on it in verse 3, knowing that the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, worketh patience. Now I'm going to talk about that, but what I thought I would do is very simply list for you 7 ways in which many times we fail this test, or in other words, wrong answers that we give, and then how in the world can we, in essence, change the test or change the question so that we can get it right. How will you know whether someone is going to fail the test or they are failing the test? What are signs of that? I think that there are 7, and really as I got looking at them, I began realizing they really become very destructive stresses on a life. They're destructive emotions that affect us when we are failing. Think of FLLAGGE. That's really not spelling flag, but it's close. I hope it'll help. All right, letter F stands for fear. If I'm living in fear, I'm probably failing the test. If I'm lonely, I'm probably failing a test. If I am showing some kind of lust, I probably failed that particular test, or I got the question wrong. Anger, I probably got the question wrong. Guilt, probably got the question wrong, the test I failed. If it shows up in the emotion of greed, probably got the question wrong. Or finally, envy. Now, you don't have to live with these. Have you ever found yourself fearful, lonely? Ever at a place that you feel like there's lust there or desires for unspiritual things are going to hurt you? Anger that's out of control? Guilt? The area of greed or envy, none of these, God has built us in our body to handle them. They're all signs of a sinful nature. We're responding wrong. How can we solve these? Jot down these 7, but let me give you a statement under each one, how we can turn, first of all, these destructive emotions into something productive. Take, for example, the point of fear. The Bible says to cast out fear with genuine love, but he also says, with humble faith. Perfect love casts out fear, but also Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they're going to inherit the earth. These are just the beginning of the Beatitudes, but there's a whole sense, and we preached on these last year, but the reality is there's a sense in which God doesn't want us to live by fear, false evidence appearing real. He wants us to live by faith. He wants us to be in a place that we operate not by my feelings, but by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by. When my faith is weak, it's probably because I'm not giving myself to the memorization and meditation of God's Word. When my faith is strong, it's because I've been feeding on God's Word through preaching, through reading my, having devotions, taking in God's Word, being around other people that are faithful and knowing God's truth, and it helps me rather than living by fear, I live by faith. Fear has bondage, and it ties us up into our own little worlds in which we're afraid to step out and do anything. God says, listen, you be just as happy you will be by being poor in spirit, by being bankrupt, by realizing, you know what, I have nothing to offer you, God. God, I want to walk by faith. The opposite of fear is faith, and genuine faith. Number two is loneliness. Rather than living lonely, we can defeat loneliness with a vision for others' needs. Rather than being inwardly and thinking, you know, I just need this time to myself, and pretty soon, the more time you think you need yourself, pretty soon you find yourself all alone. You wonder why you have no friends. You wonder why there's no one there to come alongside of you. And like the lone ember that's off to the side of the fire, it eventually dies out much more quickly than those embers that are together in the campfire. Satan wants you to be alone. The reality is that sheep are meant to come into flocks. And you take a sheep all by itself, and you know what a sheep all alone is? It's a naked prey. And that's exactly what God doesn't want for you. God wants you to be in a place to be able to have a vision for others. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled." He said it in Matthew 22, part of our own mission statement, love their neighbor, even as yourself. Give of yourself. Loneliness is a destructive emotion that'll hurt you. So is fear. And let me give you another L for lust. Transforming that lust into genuine love. The reality is when Jesus said, "But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart." Matthew 6:13, "Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever." There's whole emphasis of moving from living in lust and desires that are out of control to moving us to a place of living in love, genuine love. It's the opposite of love. Lust gets, love gives. Lust puts us in a place to say, you know, I need this, I desire this, I deserve this, I'm going to take this. You say, well, of course, Pastor, that's talking about morals. It is, but it's talking about much more than that. It's the desires to be able to fulfill your own natural affections unnaturally and without God. There are many people that end up spending more time about themselves and what they want. It's all about them. And ultimately, it destroys the very emotions that God gave to us to enjoy. He gave to us to be able to express to other people. We take it in all to ourselves. God says, listen, you can transform that into genuine love. Look at the area of anger, because I think at this point we can turn anger into compassion. When the Lord said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, they'll be called the children of God." And finding when the Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not," that anger is not the problem. That's not the emotion, the problem, but it's what we do with it. Taking jet fuel and putting it into a plane is very productive. Taking jet fuel, putting it into a 55-gallon drum and lighting it off into somebody's house, that's destructive. The reality is, for anger, it's a huge problem if it's not under control. The fact is that that becomes the door that Satan uses to open up to a person's heart. When he said, "Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And then he ends up saying about what does the Bible say about the devil? And don't give place to the devil. Don't be in a place to say, you know what, when a person gets angry, they're not thinking. They're running deeply by emotions, and therefore they're saying things and doing things to be very destructive. The reality is that anger, the only reason that God give this to us to be able to use it righteously, but God says, "I want you to turn that anger into compassion. Compassion for me, compassion for others." The destruction of anger also leads to the destructive emotion of guilt. And replacing that guilt with an inward peace. "Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God." But also Psalms 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, that guilt is not there, whose sin is covered." It's interesting to note in Genesis 42:21, when Joseph's brothers said, "We are very guilty. Circumstances went against them. They realized the game's up. We've been known. Our conscience is guilty," because they had unresolved conflicts and it sat there and it burned on them. There's another emotion that showed up about them later as well, but the point for there was they were very guilty. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of counseling sense to know when you see somebody guilty, they can't look in the eye, they look down, they look away, they avoid you. What drives that? The emotion of guilt. God doesn't want you to live guilty. When God covers it, the Bible says, you're happy. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covers his sin won't prosper." Like Moses that covered sand over the dead body. Eventually, it got exposed. When God covers sin, it's not just a covering as the blood was of the picture of the altar, but it's a cleansing of it by Christ's own blood. I encourage you, when you end up wanting to help somebody in a test, you want to help them to realize that even in this area of guilt, you can replace that with an inward peace, and only God can do that. The other G I put down is greed, because that is another element that you find in Scripture, a destructive stress, an emotion that really has to be overcome, that greed, with generosity. Even as Jesus in Matthew 6 talks about laying for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. Being in a place to realize I don't have to have what someone else have. It's not just that I don't want them to have it, but I want it. And it's a sense and a drive that God says, listen, you need to end up realizing that will influence you. It will affect you. It will affect your body. And then lastly, letter E for envy. Conquering that envy with a sincere gratitude. Realizing that many times, as in Matthew 7:12, when Jesus said, therefore, all things, whatever you do that men should do to you, you do even so to them. Be in a place to say, you know what? Even as the law and the prophets said it, I want to conquer that envy with sincere gratitude. I want to express that. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, but that whatever I've learned, whatever state I am, I'm content. I'm in a place to say, it's okay. Whatever I have, whatever I need, God, you're going to provide that. And Satan wants to cripple me with all of these. He wants to cripple me and then blame me for limping. And he uses all of this to destroy Christians. Do you say, is that possible for a Christian, someone that knows God, to end up being destroyed by kneeling in all these emotions? Absolutely. The life of David is a great example. At times in his life, he was fearful. At times, he was lonely and he made wrong choices. At times, he lived by lust. At times, he got angry with Nabal. At times, he was very guilty in Psalms 51. At times, he got greedy. At times, he was envious. But all of those, God used in his life. Now, I condense all of this, but I want you to understand that these are the kind of emotions that God doesn't want us. He doesn't want us to fail the test. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to pass the test. You say, well, you know, I can do that on my own. I can handle all that. No, you can't. You just can't. All of us at some point or along give in to some of these, and God says, I immediately can give you the solution to those. I'm testing your faith. He wants you to get a perfect score. You don't have to go to a website on how to pass a test, but you can end up realizing, God, when I find myself fearful, lonely, lusting, anger, guilt, greed, envy, any of these, immediately a flag should go up and say, you know what? Something's not right. Something's not right. Why am I so fearful? Why do I want to be so lonely? Why do I want to be with anybody? Why am I, there's a general desire for something that, God, I know you don't want me to have? God, why am I so angry? You know, God, why do I feel so guilty? God, why do I have this greed? Why do I have this envy? And those are the times that you've got to realize, I've got to realize, and some that of you that are helping others to realize, those, if unchecked and not dealt with, will really end up being very destructive. I'm so thankful for God's Word that gives answers for every one of these. You see, is it possible to end up living a successful Christian life? Absolutely. Because it's not just about what we want to be different, but that that difference that we would make would be able to make a difference in other people's lives and ultimately our world that we live in. You can't live like Christ unless Christ lives in you. And you realize, you know what? You know, I sin a lot. It's not the amount of sin, my friend. It's the fact of sin. There are more people that end up dying in 9 feet of water than 900 feet of water. It's not the amount. It's the fact. And the fact is that only Christ himself can eliminate sin. And even with all of these emotions that are caused by sin, we can end up saying, God, I need you. I cannot do this. And every single day, allow him to live his life through yours. He will make a difference. He will in your life.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.